men and women have a tendency to speak a different language. Now, I don't mean that we speak foreign language to one another. We just speak differently to one another and about things to one another. It's kind of like being American English and Great Britain English. We speak the same language, but there are words that we use that don't mean the same thing to each of us. Let me give you an example. Let's say watching television. Now, watching television sounds like something simple. You come home at night, you say, what are we going to do? Well, why don't we just watch TV? That sounds safe, but to anyone that's been married for any length of time, you know that is a danger zone, because watching TV does not mean the same thing to a man that it means to a woman. Because you see, to a man, watching TV, first of all, it has to do with the remote, okay? It all builds around the remote. Who is in control of the remote? Because who controls the remote determines how you will watch TV. And to a man, when he says, I'm going to watch TV, or I want to watch TV, he gets the remote, we are visually stimulated, and he instantly begins to flip through about 150 channels as fast as he can. What he's doing is, he is gauging quickly whether or not something catches his eye for him to want to stop and see if it's worth his time. Now, that's the way we watch TV, visually stimulated. Now, to a woman, they are emotionally stimulated. When they say, I want to watch TV, what that means is they get the remote, they want to flip, starting usually Hallmark, Lifetime, somewhere in there, and they start and they begin to flip, and they want to leave it on something for 4 or 5 minutes to see whether it's worth their time. They want to get engaged to it. They want to see the story. They want to see if they know who's in it and what it's about and all of that kind of stuff. But what happens is, as a man's flipping through, a wife is growing impatient, and then a wife turns it on, and she's leaving it on something, and the husband's saying, change it, I don't want to watch this, I don't want to, you know, don't leave it here. And then finally, after a few minutes, the husband becomes engaged, and the wife decides, I don't want to watch this, and flips it, right? And so watching TV, it does not mean the same thing to a man as it does to a woman. Let me give you another example. Shopping. Shopping does not mean the same thing to a man that it means to a woman. Now, I know a lot of women like to say, you know, my man doesn't like to shop, and that's just not true. Men like to shop. We just define shopping differently than you do. See, when a man wants to shop, when a man needs to get something, the process goes like this. A man decides, I need something. They find out the place that has what they need. They leave and they go to that place and they go to where it is that the thing is that they need. They buy it. They go home. Okay? No dawdling, no looking around, no looking for accessories, no browsing. They go, they buy, they go home. That's shopping. Now, the only time that ever varies, the only time that ever becomes something different is if they get to the place that they're going to buy and they find that the place doesn't have what they came to buy. Because then they're in a dilemma, because you have two choices. Either the man will decide, maybe I can venture out and go down to the store down the way and see if they have what I want, or I'm just going to go home and regroup and we'll come back and hit it another time. That's shopping to a man. To a woman, shopping is a grand adventure. It's a grand, costly adventure for most of us. Because you see, a woman, she can decide, I need something. She can go to purchase what she needs. But if she only comes home with what she went to purchase, she is disappointed, because that was not shopping. Because you see, a woman wants to go and look and browse and enjoy. And I can remember when we first got married, I was getting this whole thing shopping, and you know, because to me, I'm going and getting, come home. She wants to go and browse, so I thought, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to go shopping with my wife. I tried it one time, okay? 28 years of marriage, we did it. But I went, and I thought, this, you know, I'm going to go and help her shop. And after about an hour, maybe an hour and a half of looking and not buying, I was getting frustrated. I was ready to go join the old guys on the benches in the middle of the mall, right? Because those guys, they're burned out shells. They've been shopping more than once. And I promise you, you know what they're thinking sitting on those benches? They're thinking, I wish I had the remote. That's what they're thinking. They're out there, it's just running through their head. And so I thought, I want to hurry this along. So I asked the question. I said, honey, I want to help you. What are we looking for? And here's the response. I don't know. Now, the problem is, if you don't know what you're looking for, how will you know when you find it? And more importantly to men, how will you know when we're done, right? You see, I think that same question is a question that plagues our culture today. The question of how do you know what you're looking for? See, a lot of young people, a lot of young adults are out there looking for Mr. Right. They're looking for Mrs. Right, and they're searching all over. But the problem is they can't define what it is they're looking for. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you'll never find it. People today move jobs and move careers, and they go places, and they're trying to find something. And you ask them, what are you trying to find? They say, I don't know, but I'm just trying to go. And they never get to a place where they say, I found it, and I'm satisfied. We do the same thing in church. A lot of people that are leaving the church, you ask them, why are you leaving the church? They say, I can't find what I'm looking for. Well, if you don't know what you're looking for, you'll never find it. People move from church to church to church. They say, well, we're looking for, what are you looking for? I don't know. Well, then you're not going to find it. And because of that, at least once a year, I like to take some time on Sunday morning to talk about what you'll find at First Baptist Blowing Rock, who we are. I like to talk about our heartbeat. I like to talk about our vision statement. I like to talk about what our purpose is here, what our goal is here, because I want to help you better communicate to those around you that are looking for something. They just don't know what they're looking for. They're looking for something to find something. They just can't communicate what that is. And so this morning, I want to take just a few minutes to just talk about who we are and what we bring. What is our heartbeat? What is, if you boil it all down, what is the most important thing that we want to offer or communicate to those in this community? Now, it goes without saying, we believe at this church, and I believe as the pastor of this church, that it is vitally important that anyone who claims the name Jesus Christ, any Christ follower, is connected, is tied in to a local church. I believe the New Testament is very clear that you must be connected to the local body of Christ. Now, the Bible teaches that when we become believers, when you accept Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. You become a child of God, and you become a part of the universal church. You become a part of the church, big T, big C. It's not Catholic, it's not Baptist, it's not non-denominational. It is the church that is connected by brothers and sisters in Christ. And what makes us a part of that church is, as children of God, we all have the same blood, Jesus' blood flowing through us. And so we become a part of the church. But when Jesus was on the earth, He established the local church. And He established that His children, His believers, should not just be a part of a universal church that's doing the business of His kingdom, but we should all be connected to a local church, a local body of Christ within our community, so that we can be about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, everything we do as a church is based around that. That is the hub at the center of the wheel. Spreading the good news, sharing the gospel. Now, the church does a lot of things, but all of it is centered on that. We are to be a light in the hill. The local church is to be a message-sending body of Jesus Christ, His unconditional love, His forgiveness, and His grace. But we believe you need to be connected to the local body. Everybody. Now, the New Testament uses a lot of analogies about what the church is supposed to look like. A lot of different pictures of what the church is. And let me just give you some of those. Peter calls the church in 1 Peter 2 a holy nation. Talking about the church, the local church and the universal church, its allegiance is not to the nation, it's not to the state. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And we are a holy nation. Matter of fact, John calls it in Revelation the kingdom. Understanding that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. Jesus Himself calls it a vine in John 15:5. The vine, to help us understand that the body of Christ is to be interconnected, that we are all connected to Him. And because we are connected like a vine, we all can produce fruit. The things that God's calling us to. Jesus also calls the church in Ephesians 6 His bride, to indicate its importance. To indicate that it is something that we can be intimate with God through, that the church becomes the avenue by which we develop intimacy, corporate intimacy with God. Paul calls it an assembly, something that gathers together, something that comes together for worship. Peter calls it a flock. The idea being that each one of us needs to be led and fed and cared for and protected by the Good Shepherd. Paul calls it in Galatians a family. He says the body of Christ is supposed to be a family, interacting, dependent on each other, loyal, mutually caring for one another, a relationship one to another, love above all things. That's what a family is. That's what the church is. And then in the passage I want to read to you this morning, Paul refers to it in Corinthians as a body. You see, he says the church is like our human body. And he goes on to begin to explain what that looks like, our connection one to another, our dependence on one another. Listen to what he says. For the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether we're Jew or Greek or slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. See, what he's saying is you can't choose to not be a part. If you're a believer in Christ, you are a part of the body. You can't say, I'm going to do stuff that the finger can't decide on its own. Listen, I'm tired of the other fingers that are next to me. I'm going over here and functioning on my own. Because the moment you cut that finger off to decide to let it go on its own, it begins to die. And the same thing is true of every believer that is disconnected from the body of Christ. That's why it is so vital. He says, you can't say, I'm not going to be a part. He says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. For if we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts. For the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part. It is our lifeblood, the church. Do you know what's not spoken of anywhere in the New Testament? There is not one example. There is not one biblical precedent. There is not one encouragement. There is not one support. There's not even an instance where a believer is mentioned to somehow exist apart from the local church. This idea that permeates today that I like Jesus, I just don't like the church, is an impossibility. Because Jesus loved the church so much that He gave His life for it, and it says He is coming back for His church, His bride. You can't love Jesus and not love the thing that Jesus loves the most. Doesn't mean the church is perfect. Matter of fact, it's not. That's why so many people say, I'm not finding what I'm looking for, because they're looking for something that doesn't exist. People say, well, I want to go to a church that doesn't have hypocrites. It doesn't exist. I want to go to a church that doesn't have people that sin. It doesn't exist. If there was a perfect church out there, the last thing it would need is you or I to go and join it, because then it would be imperfect. You see, what we need to recognize is that you cannot exist apart from Jesus Christ and the church. That's why we encourage every believer, no matter where you are, no matter what you're a part of, to be connected to the local church. If not here, somebody else and somewhere else. And that brings us back to our purpose statement. Brings us back to who we are striving to be. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me teach this. You've seen it. It's on our logo. It's on our wall. It's on everything that we print. It's on our website. We want to be a place, our goal is to be a place where people can belong, can believe, and can become. Now, it's easy to hear those three words, to see it on our logo, to hear somebody talk about it and think, that's a nice little catchphrase. That's a nice little statement that we can go out and say. It fits good on a t-shirt, right? Believe and belong and become. But there is so much more to those three words than just a catchphrase. You see, those three words encapsulate who we strive to be as the body of Christ. Those three words show the world around us who we are if they are looking for something. Now, what does it mean to believe, to belong, to become. Now you see, people may visit churches because of the preaching. They may visit churches because of music. They may visit churches because their kids want to go. They may visit a church because they've got good programs or because it's close to where they live. But those things will not keep a person in church. The things that keep people in church are the things that matter to their heart. Now, before I tell you who we are, let me tell you who we're not. First of all, we're not a big church. We're bigger than the average Baptist church in the United States of America. The average Baptist church runs about 75 on Sunday. But we're not a big church. We're not going to compete with big churches. We're not going to have all the bells and whistles that maybe some church that you've gone to before has. We're not going to try to do that. We can't offer all the programs that maybe some other churches do. We're not big enough and equipped enough to do everything. But what we will do is the things that we offer, they will be excellent. And they will be what God is calling us to be here at First Baptist Church of Blowing Rock. As I said a moment ago, we're not perfect people, and it starts with me. I am not a perfect person. I make mistakes. I blow it. I fail. And the people in this church blow it and fail. I like a statement I saw one time on Facebook, and they said, you know, put it on the church. It was a church sign that goes in front of church. It said, if the person out front smoking offended you, don't come in. Because you're going to be even more offended by what you find inside. Because you see, we are a hot mess in here. If you're looking for a hot mess of people, you found it. Dysfunctional, mistakes, problems. We blow it, we fail. But what we have together is that as we are struggling and seeking and sinners, we are all enjoying this journey of life that we have because of Jesus Christ, striving to become more like Him. So who are we? We are a place that you can belong. The definition of belong says that it is to be attached, either by birth, allegiance, or dependency. And you see, our goal is that you will find that you can be attached here because we've all been experiencing a new birth. You can be attached here because each one of us is allegiant to Jesus Christ first. You can be attached here because we are dependent on one another. The number one thing that people are looking for in our community and in our nation today is a place to belong. They are looking for community. Do you want to know how much money people spend to join clubs and to join groups to try to find some place that they can fit in? That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. You see, we are striving to be a place where people can come from all over the area and seek Christ, to do community, to do life together. See, we want to find a place and be a place where people can come no matter where you are, no matter what your background. And we can laugh together and we can have our children together and we can grow up together and we can grow old together and we can cry together and celebrate together. We can do life as a body and all of us can belong. That's our goal here. And you see, you don't belong here because of the color of your skin. You don't belong here because of your politics. You don't belong here because of where you work or where you live or where you went to school or the amount of money in your checking account. Those things don't make you belonging here because we've got a little bit of everything. We've got white and black and red and brown. We've got Democrats and Republicans. We've got people that from all types of backgrounds, from all types of places. Sitting here, we've got blue collar, we've got white collar, we've got no collar, we've got Methodists, we've got Charismatics, we've got Presbyterians, we've got Baptists. We've got people that have lived and grown up in Blowing Rock all their life, and we've got people that live in Deep Gap, and we've got people that live in Bethel, and we've got people that live in Hickory, and we've got people that live in Charlotte, we've got people that live in Florida. We've even got people that live in Texas, but we all come together to find our place in the body of Christ here. So you don't belong because of any of those things. Why do you belong? Because this is where God has called you to do life. I love it that on any given Sunday in this church, you can find a Fortune 500 CEO sitting next to a teacher, sitting next to a businessman, sitting next to an hourly worker, and there is no difference in their worship. There is no difference in the body. I love it that there's people that come to this church that are only here 2 and 3 weeks a year. Some people that come and have summer houses, and they're here a month a year. But when they come, they are here every Sunday because they say, this is where we belong. See, what I want, my heart, is that when someone asks you, why do you go to First Baptist Blowing Rock? You don't say because they've got a cool, great preacher. People know that, okay? What I want you to say when people say, why do you go to First Baptist Blowing Rock? I want your answer to be, because I belong. It's home. You see, if you come to church because of the preacher or because of the music or because of the programs or because it's close, all of those things can change. But if you come because you belong, because this is your family, that doesn't change. Even as people come and go, family stays the same. See, our goal here is to be a place of comfort, a place of rest, a place of acceptance, a place of protection, a place of peace, a place where you can belong. If you're looking for a perfect place, this isn't it. If you're looking for a place that you can come and get lost in the mix, this isn't it. Because in this family, no one gets left behind. No one gets left out. First Baptist Blowing Rock is a place to belong. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking or something you hadn't found. Maybe this is the place you need to belong to. But not just belong, we also are striving to be a place where we can believe. See, Paul clearly says that for each one of us, there is a tension between who we are and who we're becoming. And as we become more like Christ, what gets us there is our understanding of the Word of God. And our commitment in this body is that here you can discover the truth of the Word of God. My goal is that every Sunday when you come, every Wednesday when you're here, every time you walk in the doors, that you will have an encounter with something bigger than yourself. Not goosebumps because of the music or laughter because of a funny story. You will feel the presence of God and you'll be changed by it. We're not a place of indoctrination. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I'm going to teach you the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. We want to be a place where the Holy Spirit has the freedom to work through our worship, through our teaching, through our preaching. This will be a place where you will hear the whole counsel of God. That's why I preach expository, because we preach verse by verse, front to back. We don't leave stuff out because it's uncomfortable. We don't leave it out because it's not popular. We don't skip around it because we don't want to touch on that because someone might get mad. You will hear the whole counsel of God here. And we are also a place that believes that the Bible, the Word of God, is our sole source of authority. See, we don't base what we teach on what's popular or what people feel like at the moment or what's accepted. We base it on this. And we want this to be a place where you can develop spiritually, where you can be challenged to grow deeper, where you will be challenged to not be comfortable, where you will be challenged to discover how you can live and apply God's Word to your life. You see, we don't want your kids just hearing Bible stories. We don't want your teenagers just to be babysat and hear stories. We want to teach the power behind those stories. We want to teach how those stories can come alive and make a difference in your everyday lives. We want to be a place where marriages can be strengthened and nurtured through the power of the Word of God. We know that each one of us is at a different level. But our goal is, as we belong together and we develop together, that someone who is walking a little deeper with Christ can help someone who's not and pull them along. And as we connect and pull each other along, we pull each other on our journey towards Christ. We want to be a place that you can experience freedom in worship, not under legalism, not under the law. Place where you can worship in spirit and truth. A place that will hold you accountable. Because you see, we believe that each one of us needs to be held accountable to where we are in Jesus Christ. A place where people will lovingly be able to speak truth to you. Lovingly be able to tell you when you begin to get off track. Lovingly be able to help you to hear the voice of God as He leads and guides you. We also want you to discover here that as we believe in Jesus Christ and as we believe the Word of God, we believe we are a part of a bigger mission here. See, we're just not here to reach Blowing Rock. We're not here to reach Watauga County. We're here to help reach the world. And so we connect to other churches and do missions. We support missions through our finances. We support missions through sending people out to do ministry, sending people out on mission trips. You see, we want you to discover that this is a place to belong, that this is a place to believe, and lastly, this is a place to become. You see, we believe that as we embrace all we are in Christ, as you understand that you are a saint, you are a child of God, we also understand that I am called to become more like Jesus every day. As I believe and as I belong, I am made more in His image. See, we want this to be a place where you can discover your spiritual gift, where you can be challenged to find out what God is calling you. You know, Paul says, I press on to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. We want this to be a place where you can press on, where we encourage you, where we challenge you. We don't want people to come and sit. We want people to come and serve. Because coming and sitting, there's plenty of churches and plenty of people that want to sit. We are looking for people to serve. Why we say every member a minister, because we encourage and we bless every person in this church to find out what is God calling you to? What has He gifted you to? And then we want to help you get involved in that ministry. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You could be one of our little children. They do ministry. We've got them up here singing in the choir, doing worship. Doesn't matter how old you are still called to serve until Jesus calls you home. Every person that God calls to this body, this hands and feet and arms and legs and muscle and blood, every person has something to offer that we need here. And if you don't serve, then we miss out and the people around you miss out. That's why I always tell you that if God's telling you to do something, if God's put something on your heart and we don't do it, then we will encourage you and bless you and help you start it, and we'll do everything we can to do it. We take meals to people on Thursday afternoon. I didn't start that ministry. We didn't never planned on starting that ministry. Somebody came and said, listen, there's a bunch of homebound people. We have an older community in a lot of areas of this community. Those people don't get out. A lot of them can't get out. Why don't we make a meal and take meals and deliver it? And the most important thing about our meal ministry is not that we make them a hot meal. That's great, and they appreciate it, and they love it. But you know what they love more than anything? They love just sitting and talking to somebody because they don't get to see people. And that ministry has grown and developed, and I didn't have anything to do with it except put my hands and say, bless it. We will encourage it, and we will help it financially. If God's calling you to do something, you say, well, I don't see it on this ministry list. Then maybe God's calling you to lead it, and we want to help you do it. Because you see, our goal here is to help you become who God has called you to be so that you can be fulfilled by the power of Jesus Christ as you serve. The hands working together, the arms, the shoulders, the feet, the muscles moving, all of us connected, all of us striving to be healthy, all of us striving to do the will and the purposes that God's called us to. That's the picture of the body that Paul is painting here in Corinthians. That is what the world's looking for, people. They may not know it, but they are looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking for a place that accepts that they can belong. They are looking for a place where they can discover who God is. They are looking for a place to fulfill the purpose that they were put on this earth for. Over 50 times in the New Testament, we hear the phrase one another or each other. We are commanded in the New Testament to love each other, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to admonish each other, to greet each other, to serve each other, to teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, bear with each other's burdens, forgive each other, submit to each other, be devoted to each other. See, we discovered in the book of Ephesians, we were not created to be alone. We were created to be in community. And God put that desire in our heart to be a part of community. And then He created the church to fulfill that need. See, we have a purpose here. God's calling us to do life together. People around us are looking for something. They just don't know what they're looking for. So let me ask you this morning, what are you looking for? Have you found it? Maybe you're looking for a church home. What are you looking for in a church? Found it? What's keeping you from committing? Maybe you're looking for a place to belong. Maybe you're looking for a place to fit in. Maybe you're looking for a place to grow and be challenged and be accepted. God may be calling you here. Every week you can join this church. Somebody asked me, how do I join the church? All you got to do is fill out the card that's on your order of service and bring it to me, bring it to one of your ushers, and you can join the church. The only requirement is that you accept Jesus Christ and you know God is calling you here, because I don't want you here if God's not calling you. I don't want you here if you feel guilty because you're not going anywhere right now and you hadn't committed. If you don't know, then you wait until God tells you. If you want more information about our church, you say, I want to pray with you, I want to talk with you, fill out on that card, put, I want to talk, I will call you. I'll tell you, this church may not be for you, but it may be, and you're the one that's holding yourself back. But for most of us in this room this morning, you remember this church. Some of you have been here years and years and years. Let me ask you this. What are you doing? What are you working towards to help us better become a place to belong and a place to believe and a place to become? In your workplace, there are people looking. They don't know what they're looking for. In your neighborhood, there are people looking. In your kids' school groups, there are people looking. What are you doing to help share that they can find a place here to belong, believe, to become? What are you looking for? You found it? Let's pray.